Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, 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 amen. Give God praise. I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm going to talk to you about Ziklag. What's the meaning of it? And why did David stay there for 16 months? And how did David get there? And everything that happened. We're going to probably won't get through with it today, but I want to share with you a little bit concerning this passage. Before I get to this passage, I want you to get there. But before I get to this passage, I want to give you a little bit of a review of what's going on in David's life. David is a little shepherd boy, and at age 10 to 13, he gets anointed by Samuel to be the next, to be king, not the next, but to be the king of Israel. 10 to 13 years old. Pretty neat, isn't it? God didn't pick out the others, he picked him out. And then a little bit later on in his life, from age anywhere from the age of 15 to 17, is when he was serving his father, obeying his father, and serving his brothers with bread and cheese. And Goliath opened up his loud mouth and stirred David's heart to be able to come up against the very thing that was blaspheming his God. So 15 to 17, he's slaying a 9-foot dude that two axe handles wide, and he's a pretty big guy, and cuts his head off and all that. So it's like, see, here's the thing about it. See, the stone didn't kill him. Stone just knocked him cold. Now, when he drug that sword out, it was over. 15 to 17. Don't you look at any different to these young people. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God can rise up inside these young people, and the next thing you know, they're doing these great things, and you're going to stand back, look, and say, wow. 15 to 17, here he is, and he's doing through that for the next few years. He's hanging around David. He's hanging around Saul some. He's playing his music for Saul, because Saul is being tormented by an evil spirit, and he's doing the ministry of song, the evil spirit leaves. During the ministry of singing and worshiping, the evil spirit leaves. I'm going to go over here. During the time of worship, the evil spirit leaves. Now, see, I know what y'all doing. Y'all knew they were quiet, and you knew I wanted somebody talking. Do you get that? Listen, true worship, not just songs, not just music, true worship. They can't hang around. You know how to clean your home? Turn it up. Anyway, he's worshiping, but during that course of time, King Saul gets extremely, insanely jealous of David, and one day he just slings a spear at him, trying to kill him. And from then on, David's on the run. King Saul chases him for, hunts him to kill him. David's on the run for about 7 or 8 years. Think about it, 7 or 8 years. He's in his 20s, running for his life by the king whom he honors. David finds his way into the Philistine camp, and he knows that they ain't happy with them either, because they're the enemies of Israel. So he gets in there and he starts acting mad. Not angry, but crazy. Acting like he's a madman. Now, I would ask somebody to come up and demonstrate that, but I wonder who I could get to do that. Who? Who said me? What? I give you 5 seconds. Somebody say, only at Father's Vineyard. But see, the reality, but David acted like he was mad that way. And then he left, and then he found his way back to that same place about a year later and runs into a king called Achish. And he's the king of the Philistines in this city. And he actually makes an ally. He becomes an ally to the Philistines. And the only reason he's doing it is because he's running from Saul. Watch this. He's beginning to lean upon the hand of the flesh for his protection. He leans upon, because he says, he's hunting me, but he'll never think to look for me in the Philistine camp. So he's depending upon Achish and the Philistines to hide him and take care of him as he fights with them. Between the first meeting and the second meeting, we left one out. Between the first meeting where he acted mad and the second meeting with him and aligning with him, he went into the cave of Adullam. And that's where these 600 men that were broke, busted, disgusted, disgruntled, upset, and frustrated. And he builds an army out of those men. He builds warriors out of those men. And when he comes out of that, he comes, and that's when he hooks up with the Philistines again and begins to be allies to them, with them, fights with them. Gets to the point to where he's relying so much on the protection of the Philistines to protect him from Saul that the next battle that's coming up is Israel. You're talking about a dilemma. Here's King David partnering with the Philistines, partnering with the enemy. And now he's being asked by the king, because his king's seen him fight, and he said, "Oh no, we're gonna take this man with us." And the prince that were all in the Philistines, they were saying, we can't take him. We'll be over there fighting where he deserted from. So they considered him a deserter. We'll be fighting where he deserted from. The next thing, he'll turn and he'll start fighting us. Mm-mm. So God, listen, God sovereignly worked it out that they asked him to leave, him and his army. Oh, you can't go with us. We're going to fight Israel. We're afraid you're going to turn and start fighting with them. So the dilemma that he's in, God begins to work it out for him. Then chapter 30 comes along. And if you look in this chapter, you begin to see after 3 days, it's 3 days' journey from that place to a place called Ziklag. Ziklag is where they live because he became so good friends with the, united with the king of the Philistines, that he said, I'm going to give you the town of Ziklag. That's where you live. You and your family and all you got. That's yours. And they lived there 1 year and 4 months. Ziklag was a gift from the enemy. What happened? And it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day of their travel, that the Amalekites had made a raid on Negev and on Ziklag and overthrew Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And David and his men came to that city on their third day's journey. And behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their children, their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Wow, there's no bodies there. They didn't kill anybody because there weren't any bodies there. Then David and the people who were with him, the people that were with him were his warriors. The people that were with him was the warriors. Lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed. Well, why was he even greatly distressed even more? Because the men, the people, were speaking of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And David strengthened, one version will say encouraged. David strengthened, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now I'm going to pause there for a moment and talk just a little bit about this thing of being where you're not supposed to be, fighting a different battle, and while you're fighting a different battle, another one comes up that you need to fight. Being distracted because you're depending upon the hand of the flesh to protect you when God is your protection. See, David was in the wrong place. His dependency was more on the hand of the flesh to protect him from death and being killed, to protect him from King Saul, than it was leaning upon his God. Well, let's look at this for a moment. They come back after 3 days. They're wore out. They're tired. They've been fighting. And then they're traveling for 3 days. And on the third day, they begin to see the smoke arise. And they come because the Bible says that they burned everything. Took all the people, all the wives and all the children. Captured them. Think of the setting. You've lost everything. You have no idea where your family is. No sign of them. No clue where they are. Would you call this a tragedy? Would you call this a calamity? Would you call this something? What would you call this? Devastation. See, this thing about finding out the purpose of Ziklag is this. Ziklag means measured, pressed down. In other words, it's measured and then it's pressed down. And when you follow that, it's a pressing down place. Who in the world would want to live there? David. David chose to live there because it was a gift from the king of the enemy. You see all this? So you begin to see that this is a... How many of you have had these devastating places? What you just went through, what you're going through is so devastating that you've wept and wept and wept and you've almost got to the place, or maybe you have got to the place, there's not another tear in you. You've cried and you've cried and you've mourned and you've cried and you've cried and you've cried because of the devastation and you've cried and you've cried and you've cried and you've wept because of the difficult thing that has come into your life. Press down, a continuing pressing down, a continuing pressing down. No freedom, no lifting up, no uplifting, a continued pressing down, harder and harder and harder. Then while he's over there being protected by the enemy, another enemy comes in and plays havoc with his life, his wife, children. Everything is burned. See, this thing with Ziklag is a place of hardship. It's a place of pain. It's a place of discouragement. It's a place of great adversity. It's a place of calamity. It's a place of distress. Place of oppression is a place of loss. Maybe we can identify. I've been in Ziklag before. Wave at me. I've been there before. It might have been your job. Might have been your family. Might have been your marriage. It might have been your health. It could have been school. It could have been... Ziklag can show up anywhere. We look at this kind of stuff and we begin to see that this thing happens to people all over the place. But see, here's the issue. Not only has David lost everything, and he's around 29 years old. He got a big army, 600 people, and they're rough and tough, but they're no good to him now. He's lost everything. And not only that, their goods are gone. They've lost everything. They've lost their wives. They've lost their sons. They've lost their daughters. Now, they're grouping together and saying what? You know, if we had not been up there with David, I'd still have my wife. I'd still have my sons. I'd still have my daughters. If we had not gone up to the enemy's camp... It's his fault. And someone else in the group probably saying, we ought to stone him. Because the Bible says that they were considering stoning him. Killing him. He's lost everything. Listen to this. All means of support is what? Gone. There's nobody there to encourage you. There's nobody there to lift you up. There's nobody there to pray for you. There's nobody there to pat you on the back, say it's going to be okay. There's nobody there, because the closest people that you have at this time are forming against you. Actually, not to oppose you, but to kill you. Their grief is so bad because the Bible says that they became embittered. There'll be some battles that will make some people better. There will be some battles that will make some people bitter. Which one are you? The battle that you walk into, the very devastation that you see. Well, I'm a Christian. That's not going to happen. There's a fulfillment of Scripture that says this: if you suffer with me, you will reign with me. And he's already said he wants you reigning with him. Bad things do happen to good people. Bad things happen to the Duncan family. Or the loss. But see, What did it make them bitter? Made them better. Even in their grief and even in their mourning. Making them better. Why? Their hope is in their God. So David is at his wit's end. Lost everything, has no clue where his family is. Don't even know which direction to go in. They're not there to encourage him. I found out something interesting about this verse that says, but David. Everybody say, but David. Here's the devastation. Here's the thing that he's going through. But David. He could have been embittered. By the way, he was among the men that it says they cried out with their voice and they wept until what? Say it out loud. Until they could weep no more. There were no more tears in them. Crushed. And they cried and they wept 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 till there was nothing else in them that could come out. But David, with all of his men speaking of stoning him, not only has he lost everything, now he's got his men turning against him. Going to take his life. And it said that, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I found out something about that passage that I never knew. How many of you know when you're hungry and you start reading scriptures and you start allowing him to speak to you and show you where to go and what to do concerning things, that he will open up the scriptures by the power of the Holy Spirit to show you things you've never seen. But if you're not hungry, okay, I won't say anything else. But David strengthens himself in the Lord. I found out about this thing about strengthened himself. This word means to grab hold of. This word means to. I did that. I was preaching one time a while back, and I raised my voice a little bit, and he was over here, and a little child started screaming because I either woke him up or I did wake him up, and they started screaming. And God, and I said, "Is something wrong with that baby?" She said, "Yeah, you woke him up." I said, "I didn't mean to." But David, grab hold of. It means to conquer. To conquer, to lay hold of. There's a same word is over in a passage about David at another time. And he said, he laid hold to his clothes and rent and tore his clothes. He laid hold. Same word. Another one, it said, he overcame his, I'm sorry, overwhelmed his enemy. Overwhelmed, same word. Overwhelmed, laid hold to, grabbed hold of, fastened. Listen to this. You may not have people, you may come to a place that you don't have anybody speaking encouragement to you. You may find yourself in a place when you look around and you don't see anybody there for you in the natural. And then you begin So what's going on? What's happened? David's there. But he said he strengthened himself. Listen to this. The Bible says that he laid hold. He laid hold. Who did he lay hold to? You have to listen. Watch. You have to listen to this. The next word is what? He strengthened himself. He laid hold to himself in the Lord his God. What does that mean? He grabbed a hold of who he was on the inside. He grabbed a hold and he fastened himself in the Lord. He grabbed hold of who he was and went in the Lord. He strengthened, he grabbed. Listen, what is this? Do you know at the point of salvation, somewhere along the time, you grab hold of yourself and the next thing you know, you're going in the Lord. You make that, you've grabbed a hold of what's inside you and you say, this is the way I need to go. Why? Because there has been something that has happened to you that has caused you to lay hold of yourself in the Lord. You know what that means? That means there was a consciousness about him, about where he was inside. He looked at himself, what he's going through, and then he grabbed hold of himself and fastened who he was in the Lord. Y'all getting this? He is, wait a minute, he's the one that never leaves me. He's the one that never forsakes me. Listen. I don't have all the time to go into it, but listen to some of these passages. That he. Hey, you want a New Testament version of that? And the prodigal came to his senses. You got it? He laid hold to himself. He's not at the Father yet. He laid hold to himself, came to his senses, and then he said what? My father, in my father's house. There has to be this thing, laying hold of what's inside you and then being in the Lord with that. Y'all getting this? See, it's a process that David went through. And then he grabbed hold of himself. In the Lord, his God. It's almost like, come on, Terry, you going to God. He's the one that, he is my refuge. He is my strength. He grabbing hold of himself in the Lord. Why? Because emotions, anger, frustration, devastation, sorrow, weeping is flooding who he is. Flooding who he is. But the Bible said David grabbed hold of himself in the Lord. He laid hold of that. He goes on and he says this. In my distress, it's in Psalm. By the way, when you read the Psalm, they're songs. I don't know the tunes of them, but they're songs. Listen to this one. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? I will have praise for him always on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slippery pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a solid rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He's grabbing hold of who he is, and he gets in the Lord with it. Boy, it's powerful. Why he had to look inside and see where all of his emotions and see everything that was going on, that he had to grab. He had, oh, I got to hold it just a second. I got to come to my senses here. Yeah, I know all this is going on, but I've got, you ever heard somebody say, get a hold of yourself? You ever heard somebody say that? That's what this encouraged. Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Why? Because you're way over here thinking all these things and looking at everything that's going wrong. Get a hold of yourself in the Lord. See, the connection is, as also, that word also means, to fasten yourself to something. To grab hold of yourself, then fasten yourself to something. I'm telling you something very important. I really am. God gave me this a few weeks ago, and I'm like, God, you know, this is what we need. But when he opened this up to me, I'm like, God, I just never saw it. He said, well, that's the way it is, son. And the next word said, then he asked for the ephod. When? After he got hold of himself in the Lord, then he asked for the ephod. He asked for the apron, the sleeveless apron that comes on, that the high priest would put on if they're going to inquire of the Lord. Also, it's also wore when they dance. He's going to inquire of the Lord. They brought the ephod, and what does the Bible say? When they brought it, and David inquired of the Lord. What did he do? He inquired of the Lord. Oh, he didn't inquire of the Lord when he went into the camp. He didn't ask God if this where he needed to go. He ran because of fear. He relied on the protection. Listen, there's a lot of people, listen to me. There's a lot of people that is relying upon the government to take care of them, and I'm telling you that is a false hope. I love our government, but they cannot take care of you near what the Lord can do. It's like I heard one man say a long time ago. Says, you know, you have to, you know, I said, well, I'll if he did something to his car or something, he said, well, I'll pay you next week. And he said, no, I got to have my money. No, I'll pay you next week. He said, what does it say on the Bible? In God, on the dollar, in God we trust. He said, that's right. In God we trust, all others pay cash. Then he inquired of the Lord. Ziklag brought him to the place of devastation that now he begins to seek God more than he's ever sought him before. See, there's a space and time that he's out here doing his thing out here. That God, listen, but no matter what, David was a man after what? God's own heart. I'll go through these. We really need to go. I don't know if I'm going to go through these or not. It's already 10 after. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know where your Ziklag is. I really don't. Don't know if you've already been through one. I have. There one may be around the corner for you. Listen to this. You may be around people that is in one. And now you have an opportunity that you can speak into their life. But see, if you cannot grab hold, he came to his senses. He was eating with the pigs. He was destitute. And when he came to his senses, when he grabbed hold of himself, he began to realize, I got a connection with the Father. I'm going to grab hold of myself in the Father. Sometimes you just have to take hold of your inside and say, God, I'm bringing myself to you. Being led by the Spirit to do it, I get all that. I'm not believing God out of nothing. Ziklag has a purpose. Press down, getting harder, press down, getting harder. But it's not just that. He wants us to be at a place to where we will acknowledge him in everything that we do. He didn't acknowledge God and going to be with the Philistines. He sought for protection in another means. He sought for somebody else to watch over him and actually made allies with the enemy to be able to fight against other people. But David grabbed hold of himself in the Lord his God. There's a couple of songs that he's written because of Ziklag. That's what came out of it. We'll talk about the rest of it next week. Is that okay? I think what you heard today, you heard that when you go through difficult times, you're going to have to grab hold of yourself in God. Like it is, who are you in God? You heard all this stuff of what everybody's been telling you, that it's not God. You're no good. You're no good. You're not going to do anything. You don't want. That won't work. That's all of this negative stuff. All of this stuff pressing down. Get a hold of yourself in God. What did God say? What does God say about self? What did God say about you? What's the Lord say about you? What's the Spirit say about you? That's the strength. That's the grabbing hold of the very self that you are in him. Then you can go ask God. Why? Because you're being real with who you are and in alignment with who he said you were. Okay. Y'all are quiet today. I hope it's because you're soaking it in. Whatever you're facing, grab hold of yourself in God, the Lord your God. Let's stand to our feet. Some of you may have said, I just now realize that I don't have Jesus in my life. And something's grabbed a hold of me already. Now I'm grabbing hold of myself and I need to come to Jesus. I need to come to Jesus. I need to come and say, I need you in my life. Would you come into my life? I turned from all of my sin. Would you come into my life? I've been living a religious life. I've been living a life that had religion in it and not him in it. Is anybody here like that? Anybody? I want you to come down and make that right. Come down and make that right. Come down and say, I want Jesus in my life. I probably you might have misunderstood what I said, but if you didn't, I want you to come on. If you don't have Jesus in your life, I want you to come on. Today's the day when you said, I'm done with this. I'm done with this religious walk. I want to walk with the relationship. I want to walk with him. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? See, there's more people that walk religiously with him than you think. How many of you are going through, how many of you right now are going through a zigzag in your life? I want you to raise your hand high. I want you to come here quickly. I want you to come down here quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Grab hold of yourself in the Lord. I'm going through this thing that where do you go when you have nowhere else to go? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is going to be in next week's message, but I'm going to tell y'all something right here, right now. Ziklag is the very place where your destiny changes. Amen. You know why? Because in Ziklag, David found out that Saul had been killed. The very thing that had chased him and hounded him and hounded him for 7 or 8 years died. And when they died, one guy brought the crown and his rings and stuff, brought it back to David. He didn't go get the crown. The crown came to him in Ziklag. He took the crown to the elders and said, and it was just a few days later, they anointed him to be king of Israel. So all the stuff that you're going through, get ready for promotion. All of the stuff that you're going through, get ready to have your destiny ushered into you when you get hold of yourself in who he is in you and who you are in him, and you will be able to inquire of the Lord, what do I do next? And that's what you do. How do I do it? And that's what you do. But this is a place where it changes. Ziklag, as bad as it is, has the destiny of God written all over it in David. Why is that? He had to get David to get hold of himself in God. And he followed suit with what God wanted him to do and not what men wanted him to do. And then the crown, the kingship, the reigning of Israel came to him in this very place. Amen. You need to hear that. You need to hear that. You say what God's saying about you. You agree with God. And then, see Ziklag is a place where your prayer life changes. It did for David. His prayer life changed. But he had to go to the battle. He had to follow suit and do what it was that God said for him to do after he asked him. And he got up and he did it. And it is amazing to me that the 600 men said, let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this group. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you're at work. And this difficulty that they're going through, this hard place, this pressed down place that they're going through, that they're in, this devastation, this distress, all of this stuff that the enemy is pushing hard against them. Lord, let this revelation of them grabbing hold of themselves in you be the reality of how they live now. And they seek you. And they will inquire of you. They will ask you, what do I do next? With a heart that's willing to obey no matter what you say. Give them peace that is beyond their understanding. Call forth the warrior inside them to go recover what it was that was taken. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Give him a shout.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.